Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris, and with me as always is my co-host, RJ Sines. Meow mix. We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and now that it's officially okay to talk about Stranger Things 2 spoilers. There's an international internet rule that says you have 2 weeks to wait before you can spoil any movie or TV show. But now,
did you say 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's been bumped down to 1 week.
Oh,
did you
wow.
know that?
No,
the internet just changed the rule book, so officially we can get it all out in the open. Go for
it,
RJ.
Let's get this out of the way like a band-aid up. Barb comes back to life.
Yeah, Will is a hologram.
David Harbour is Hellboy.
Bruce Willis is actually dead.
The island is Hurley's dream.
Rey is C-3PO's daughter.
And Ferris Bueller is a sociopath.
That's it. We've got it all out in the open for you guys. So, yeah, no spoilers.
Spoiler you can't get alert. Mad at us. No more hate mail. Maybe you could a couple of days ago, but you know what?
Yeah.
Rules is rules, internets.
That's right.
You can't hate the player. You just...
And when the rule books get updated, we get a notification to our iWatches.
Our iWatches, right. Very good. It's called rule change notification. All right, it's going off the rails.
Today, in this episode of Why Am I Laughing, we're talking about Rick Sanchez. That Rick and Morty character that everybody loves. And yeah, we're going to get straight into it. Are you ready, RJ?
Oh, I am so excited. Not only did we have so much fun talking about this whole series, which was just technically seasons 1 and 2, right before season 3 dropped, but now that the season is over, presumably, we can really dive into the heart of this show, which is Rick Sanchez.
He's pretty good. But before we get into it, RJ, do you have any news stories? Any
news stories?
We're going to do it in a high timbre.
Duh, I almost called you Jim. Jim, do you know Ben Carey? Maybe you've seen this, maybe you haven't. The Jim Carrey like interview at Salon or the fashion show where like he kind of freaks out and like goes on some existential rant about how nothing matters. That's been going around the internet like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Some are speculating that he just had an off day and just felt like he wanted to be vulnerable. But actually, as comedy nerds will know, Jim Carrey has been deep mystic kind of guy for a long, long time. He's a method actor. He's super in tune with like the cosmos and like how everything doesn't matter and this is all fake and just a lot of that kind of stuff.
He's an artist too.
Hardcore artist, yeah. And by that I mean normal artist, but just takes it really seriously. He's not like an X-rated artist. So there's this Netflix movie come out called Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond, and it's a documentary from the 1999 Andy Kaufman biopic where Jim Carrey plays Andy Kaufman. Well, who's Andy Kaufman, RJ? Well, I'll tell you. Andy Kaufman is a famous, famous comic who was super erratic and off the wall. He wasn't like anything we've ever seen ever in the history of American comedy.
Okay.
He was like quirky and weird and talked kind of in a weird way. It was like a weird character, but it was him, and he would never be not Andy. He was like always performing. He was always doing something kooky and ridiculous, and known for practical jokes, known for going taking things too far, known for being erratic. Jim Carrey did this biopic and really got into character.
Okay.
And this documentary, it's coming out on Netflix on November 17th, just really breaks in the door of some behind-the-scenes footage on how Jim Carrey went bananas being this character and went fully into character. And there's a clip where Jim even says, like, yeah, Andy came out to play and he didn't want to go. He didn't want to leave. And it's so insane.
Is Andy Kaufman, is that what you said?
Andy Kaufman, yeah.
Is he dead?
Yes, he's dead. He's deceased.
When did he live?
In the 60s and 70s.
Okay. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So this documentary, in my mind, is going to be a great insight to how Jim Carrey views his art as a performer and also just the insanity and hilariousness of Andy Kaufman, because Jim Carrey embodies it so well, this performer, Andy Kaufman. And it's amazing to see like these little clips from the trailer of like the director being like, no, Jim, I need you. Come on, Jim, what are you doing? He's like, Jim isn't here. Like, it's like Andy Kaufman, like laughing at him, like being a jokester backstage. And it's just insane. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, like, how do you ring this in? But yeah, if you guys are wanting like a little preview before November 17th, Norm Macdonald does an interview with Jim Carrey on his YouTube show that's rock solid and kind of explains where Jim is at, like in his own personal philosophy and way of life and what he thinks matters. And he's a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs sometimes, but like, I don't know. It's grounded. It's grounded in a really strong sense of what he has experienced in his life. So I think he's fine. Everyone's like, is Jim Carrey okay? Ooh, this interview. He's fine. He's just Jim Carrey.
Wait. Norm Macdonald has a YouTube interview show?
Yeah, he does like, it's like a live podcast, basically.
So he's doing that in the KFC ads?
Yeah, that's about it. No. Norm does stand up like all the time.
Okay, that's good.
But he's been doing this Norm Macdonald live for a couple of years, 3 years maybe.
No network wanted to pick him up?
No, he's just doing his own thing for freezies. And he gets sponsored, but it's all him, small studio stuff. Wow. Nothing crazy.
Interesting.
Really in-depth stuff. So that's a lot for one news article, but it is packed, yo. If you guys like Jim Carrey, if you like Andy Kaufman, if you like Norm Macdonald. If you like
the art of Norm Macdonald,
if you're interested in the select taste of a satirical comic from the 1980s,
deadpan weirdo.
Yeah, he's so funny.
But anyway, the Man on the Moon. That's really really interesting. I want to go back and see that movie because I remember seeing reviews and stuff about it. And man, I really must have either been too young or just didn't understand. I was 9, but I thought it was about going to the moon.
I know. I watched this movie, gosh, it must have been 5 years ago with my wife, and we were just like, this looks good. Jim Carrey, like, funny. Like, we haven't seen it. Like, it's about Andy Kaufman, a famous comedian. Like, this has got to be funny. And it was funny, but it was a bajillion times more interesting than funny. Mm. Andy Kaufman was really weird. Like, would dress up as fake people and show up to parties as like another person and like scare people and like be like really weird, and people were like, that's Andy, and he's like, I'm not Andy, and he's like in a fat suit and just like really weird.
Jeez,
it's so freaking funny.
All right,
anyways,
all for the laughs. Man, there's like a deep hole in that man's life.
Speaking of a deep hole in a man's life, in an unintentional segue right into who we're talking about today, Ben.
You need a little brief history on Rick Sanchez?
Let's get some background on this guy. What's his deal, yo? Yeah.
No, you got it. Don't even trip, dog. It's one of my favorite lines.
Don't even trip, dog.
Don't even trip, man. Don't even trip, dog. I can't do a good Rick.
That was bad.
Thanks. In 2006, Rick and Morty co-creator Justin Roiland created The Real Animated Adventures of Doc and Marty. I only say that because it's Marty, but it has an H in it. It funny because I'm a funny guy. It's an animated short parodying the Back to Future characters Doc Brown and Marty McFly. Roiland created the character that mirrors the erratic mad scientist Doc Brown, who has a larger-than-life personality and an intellect who can get him out of any situation. This idea for Rick Sanchez in the form of Doc and Marty was brought to Adult Swim, and it was decided that the character of Rick would be the grandfather to Morty. So, pretty brief.
Simple beginnings.
But that's what it is.
But we've seen, I mean, it's a lot of development in this character just within 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that's all you really need to know. It's like,
right,
he's a genius, he's an alcoholic, and he's grandpa to Grandpa Rick, and he's like reverse Doc Brown.
Right. Yeah.
And then you just like go this Doc whole Brown. New place where he's been around the universe in the multiverse like a bajillion times. He's got a crazy dark narcissistic philosophy on life.
Well, yeah, his actual history in the show is pretty like left in the dark. They like to keep it mysterious, and I think that's very intentional from show creators. But you do know that he at one point left the family and now has come back.
Right. And he some could speculate that's because after searching the universe for meaning, he hasn't found it anywhere except for his offspring. And right. I think that shows through as we've moved on in the series.
Truly, but, though, like, that choice is the only, like, finite choice that we know that he has made that is, like, a decision about his life to be around his family. Besides that, like, there's no other, like, defining choice that he really has. It's all just
alcoholism.
Besides, like, I guess, yeah, like, more like psychological numbing.
Yeah.
But yeah,
no, you're spot on.
It's really interesting that they just don't give you a lot about this person, but he has he's just very rich in character.
Yeah, and the writers of this show are super smart, so well invested in this. That's why they take so long to pull together these seasons and these shows. And it's amazing how this show has really won over all of the millennial youth. Like, it's insane to me. Like, even, like, we were kind of talking about this a little bit before the podcast, how, like, when we first started watching Rick and Morty, I know for me personally, I was put off by the character of Rick instantly. I think the first episode, he's super drunk and he picks up Rick and they're flying around in their spaceship, and they're like
even before that, when he's just talking about school, he's just like, school's lame.
Yeah.
What?
And you're just kind of like, ugh, this guy's kind of trashy. I don't really like him. But within just a few episodes, you really somehow see the heart behind it, and you're just like, okay, like, he's funny. Yeah, he's, like, really a terrible person, but, like, we just love following these adventures with this super, you know, sociopath, hilarious genius guy. And this whole show, I mean, now we're on season 3, and it's blown out of proportion. Yeah. McDonald's has to apologize because they don't have enough Szechuan sauce to give to people on that day. I can't even believe it.
No, it's nuts. Yeah, he's become a cultural phenomenon, but if I'm honest, he sounds more depressing than funny. So can you answer that age-old question, RJ? Why the heck is this guy funny? Because he's... I don't know. It's up and down, but he is funny.
Well, as we know, Ben, here on Why Am I Laughing, we love to say levity in depravite.
That is...
If you will.
Yes. Something we have said once.
And if we want to go to our other podcast, Why Am I Not Crying, we can talk about the emotional side of that. But today we're going to talk about why this depravity...
Why am I not crying?
Yeah, remember, that's a podcast where we don't talk about our feelings. Like, yeah, so like Rick...
No, that one's called Avoiding Sadness.
That's right, Avoiding Sadness. I thought it was Why Am I Not
Crying. Why Am I Crying is a different podcast, right, where we talk about our feelings. But Avoiding Sadness is like, yeah, I'm tough.
Yeah, so like Rick has like family issues, but like, I just want to talk about it. But like,
me, like, I don't care about my dad.
Don't have family,
but like,
issues,
whatever.
Like, my dad left me, but like, it's cool because like, he's a great guy. He's like making so much money, I bet, and like, really beautiful man. Anyways, so this levity and depravity has a lot of weight, and Rick is funny because of his narcissistic personality, quick wit, and nihilistic disposition. Right, automatically, these things that really aren't found in a lot of humans or even characters in television. That's, you know, those three defining qualities, maybe separate, yes, but together more rare. Rick might be one of the most intelligent beings in the multiverse, and yet is unfazed by the cosmic miracles and horrors that exist in it. Rick simply isn't fazed because for Rick, nothing matters, and he avoids his impending demise and insignificance by filling his life with more problems so he can fix them again and again and again. We love Rick because he can demystify any ridiculous situation, any sci-fi trope, and always come out on top, all while resenting the entire situation.
Yeah, so there's something really funny, or there can be a lot of humor, and there's something really likable and like attractive about someone who just doesn't care.
Oh, yeah.
You know, double middle fingers in the air, like, just doesn't have any stake in the game.
Right.
But yeah, it's tough because at the same time, if that is true of a person or a character 24/7, that's very detachable, and you actually don't love that person. That person ends up becoming a villain.
Right. That's what's interesting to me about why Rick is a protagonist that we want to root for.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's very rarely a protagonist that is consistently undermining the plot of the show and like not caring about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I mean, multiple, you know, kind of analysis points out that Rick wants to propel the actual show. He's like aware that he's in the show.
Right.
He wants to propel it forward, but all the while he's performing this act of, I hate this. This is stupid. I can solve this. You want to quick solve this? Let me figure this out real quick, you stupid idiots. Like,
Well, I think I think why we love Rick is because he doesn't care about anything except for Morty.
Right.
That might be the only thing that he really truly cares about.
Right.
Like even his daughter, he almost like gives her advice as if it's like, take it or leave it. I don't care. If I'll make a robot of you, and I'll sit here and pretend that that's the real you, and you can go off and do whatever you want if you want. But Morty is where he really actually shows that he cares about things.
Right.
And he even views that as a bad part of his personality.
Right, right. And that's interesting as we look into some of that, we look into the development of his character. I think something else that like is what drives him. I don't think, I mean, I agree that he does care for Morty. I think what is making it like funny each episode is that his desire to prove his own ego is what drives him into these messes. He wants to be able to prove his superiority over others, over himself, over God, continuously. And I wouldn't say that's what he like cares about in the way that he cares for Morty, but that's what drives the comedy in every episode, I think.
Yeah, when Satan comes to town and he's more concerned about proving that he's a hack than he is about like trying to kill Satan or eliminate evil
or help people.
Yeah, exactly. And that episode, like there's some drive there that has nothing to do with Morty, because Morty is not even in that storyline, but other stories where Morty is under attack or in trouble, that's when you really get to see
the little glimpses of his heart,
him caring about him. And I think my little three-pointer prediction is we will see the end of the show as something fractures the Rick and Morty relationship. And like we saw in what was the Avengers knockoff?
The Revengers or
the
Vindicators.
The Vindicators.
Ding.
So all that episode was there was like a jealousy between Rick and Morty, like idolizing the guy from the
Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Star-Lord knockoff.
Mm-hmm. And so that drove him to like just totally F up the entire situation. But I think there's going to be a fracture in their relationship where they really get mad at each other and really walk away from each other. And I think that's how the show will end. Rick will just end everything.
That's an interesting prediction. Yeah, I think that very well could happen. So many fans of the show, so many theories here. But something that sticks out to me for Rick as a comedic protagonist that's different than other, let's stick with like animated comedic protagonists.
Okay.
He isn't dumb.
Right.
Right? Let's look at Homer Simpson, Peter Griffin, Bob Belcher. Even though there's varying degrees of intelligence, they all kind of have like this dumb wit about them, this falling into stupid situations. Rick is very much the opposite of all of that. And I think people really have gravitated to that because it's so different.
Well, yeah, I mean, what is his antithesis? Jerry.
Yeah, exactly.
Jerry is the opposite of Rick.
And Jerry could easily have been the, Bob Belcher.
Right, exactly. But it's interesting because you have the archetypal father figure who's dumb and happy, and then you have the opposite of that who's brilliant and sad and depressed. But that's what's so interesting is like Rick, in one episode you see Rick try to commit suicide and only fails because he's so blasted drunk.
Yeah.
And Jerry is happy to like have his weed whacker back and whack weeds on the cement part of his lawn, like just causing sparks. But he's like happy.
Yeah, completely happy. Oh my gosh. And something that comes out of that too with his like in more intelligent kind of background for his character is this quick wit that is like sends the jokes per minute through the roof. Mm-hmm. He's not like falling down hurting himself like Peter Griffin or ending up in like a fight with a chicken or some stupid cutaway gag. He's throwing insults nonstop at everyone and everything.
Right.
Like one of my favorite ones that he pulls is hey, Jerry, the 1980s called. They want their, hey, somebody called wanting their something back reference.
That's so good.
And he'll just diss out anybody on the spot. The Vindicators episode from this season is brilliant, where he goes, oh, Robocroc, what did you fall into a vat of redundancy? Yeah. Oh my gosh. And he's just...
And that's what's so interesting. You get to see what makes him mad, and it's never actually like something happening. It's more like the philosophy of what stuff is.
Yeah,
like I'm not mad that you're a robot and a crocodile. I'm mad that that's a cliche.
Yeah,
and you're a cliche. Like that's what I'm mad about.
And that's where you kind of see the funniness of, I want to say, Seinfeld, or like the George Costanza, Larry David kind of comedy, right, where it's like, I'm not mad about you. I'm mad about the idea of you.
Exactly.
Like, this is against my rules of how the world should work. And I got it. I'm telling you right now, this is bullcrap. Like,
right.
This is so dumb.
Because when nothing matters, like situations that unravel don't have an effect on Rick's bearing.
Exactly.
It's like, well, I'll look out for number one. And, you know, if Marty's in trouble, then that's Morty.
Yeah.
That will be another important thing to me. But other than that, the only thing I really care about is, like, those kind of philosophical?
Yeah. questions. Philosophical questions, philosophical. Well, which is ironic, too, because one of my favorite quotes that he says is, like, let me get into it. What about the dimension where Hitler cures cancer, Morty? You just don't think about it.
Right.
That's what
I do. The answer is you don't think about it.
The answer is you don't think about it. And that is 100% what drives this comedic force, is the ridiculous crap they go through. It doesn't faze Rick.
Well, yeah. So that's really interesting, because that points out his avoiding of caring about that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
right, like stuff that happens to him doesn't affect him, but perhaps it does, but he just avoids
he internalizes it. And that's where, like, you know, we could totally get into this development of character we see in season 3, especially in Pickle Rick.
Uh-huh.
Susan Sarandon has this fantastically written monologue.
I know, so
where she completely spells out Rick's character and how his biggest obstacle is his own ego, his own intelligence, and how he uses these things to avoid the pain in his own life.
Yeah, and the fact that it's his mind in his control.
Right.
You are making the choices you're making.
Yeah.
And that is what's terrifying to you.
Yeah. And
so good.
It's so solid. And Rick's whole the end result is Rick just being like, so you want to get a drink here?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Him and Beth go get a drink. At Shoney's.
Or even the tag end, which I don't even know if those things even matter, but, like, the tag end to that one is, like, they're about to get killed by Concerto.
For my final masterpiece.
And then, what's this... Jaguar.
Yeah, Jaguar shows
up. Cuts his throat and flies away. And he's like, and that is why you don't go to therapy.
And that's the funny thing is, and this is the funny thing. Is,
okay.
I'm just noticing what I'm saying.
I'm
trying to prove this point too. The comedy arises from him proving his point time and time again. This doesn't matter, and I'll show it to you, and I'll be right. And this is why you don't go to therapy, even though technically Susan Sarandon's right.
Right.
You should address your problems, and you should think about it some
and
more.
I love that the kids both are like, I like that. When are we going back? Like, that was good. I
was
feel good. And both of the adults are like, let's just drink.
Yeah.
So good. But yeah, I think there's so much room for jokes and for comedy when you see Rick wrestle with, do things actually affect me?
Exactly. And then saying, okay, I don't care. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it just to prove you all that you're idiots and God is dead and nothing matters. Like the Schrodinger's cat episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it's called. I think it's towards the end of season two where they like split the time.
A wrinkle in time.
You're right. A wrinkle in time. He splits the time loop and he ends up like having to do like some crazy thing where he gambles at like fate and then ends up fixing everything. And he's like, and in one dimension, he thinks it works or it happens and he thinks it doesn't work. And he goes, no, dang it. Oh, I'm sorry. I messed up. I'm so sorry. Forgive me, God. And then the
next. Well, yeah. Yeah. Cause there's a bunch of different, what is it? It's not
timelines.
It's probabilities. That's what it is. Yeah. There's a bunch of different probabilities. And in one, the buckle didn't work on Morty. So he gives him his, and then he has to go like try and fix it. So he like flies off into nothingness. And in that one, he's like actually praying.
Yeah.
He's like, God, if you're real, like, please just help me. And he's like, no, oh, I see it. Never mind. If you, God
is a lie. Everything's dead. I don't care.
And then when he finally like gets it and puts it on him, he's like, he is so happy that he defeated God.
Exactly. But that was the thing. Like in one instance, he doesn't think it works. So he's like regretting, you know, his viewpoints on divinity. And in the second one, it does work. And he's like, screw you. I win.
Oh my gosh.
And he, something I think that is endlessly funny about Rick is with the quick wit, but his understanding of how the universe works. So one of the ways this show is able to bring us into these new dimensions every time is because of Rick's intelligence of the situation. So he'll quickly explain all these things really quickly and how they work, and always with a caveat.
Always from his point of view, always from his point of view, which is very nihilistic. Right. Those are always super funny. Like, I love the one when it's him and Morty, and it's Morty's turn to choose. It's like a punch card, and it's his turn to choose, and they choose to go on, like, he's like, I want to make a good adventure. So they go to, like, this land that needs saving. They just need, and there's, like, giants up above that have so much money, and like, that adventure just totally goes awry, and his perspective the whole time is like, ugh, this is so cliche, and this is so stupid.
And then something bad happens to Morty. He gets like borderline molested by the king, who turns out to be the king of that town. And Rick at that point is like kind of like, all right, Morty, like, this is a good adventure. Like, let's go hang out. Let's go get some drinks with these guys. Right. And he's like, oh, I don't know, Rick. I kind of want to go home. He's like, what are you talking about? Like, he's now into it, of course. But then Rick finds out, and they just go beat the crap out of the guy.
No, he kills him.
Yeah, he kills him.
But he doesn't. Like, they go down, and then they realize that that's the king.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, he just portal guns and shoots him. But that shows that he cares about Morty. Like, he wouldn't do that if it was anybody else. He would just be like, well, that's what happens in an infinite amount of possibilities. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Something that happened in this last season that kind of is along the same lines, I think, is the how he despises the Council of Ricks episode, or like where it's like the Atlantis thing, and he completely like ignores what's going on and and the episode ends up doing a whole different plot. And I think that's just another thing where you can utilize Rick's comedy to further the show, if that makes sense. So, like,
are you talking about the one where they
the Citadel of Rick's?
Yeah, it's all about the Citadel. Even about C-137.
It's not even about C-137 Rick. Yeah. That's genius to me. And the he ends up in another episode. He ends up completely debunking the whole like hive mind villain Unity.
Yeah.
And like they get free will, but they're a bunch of like pedophiles and rapists who then get into a race war over their nipple shape. And shows them like, okay, fine, you want to give them free will? Like, they're a bunch of terrible people. They're gonna kill each other.
Yeah.
And he can just debunk any of those situations, no matter where you're at.
I love that, because that's when Summer is like, I wanted them to have free will, but I didn't know that would mean they would do stuff that sucked.
Yeah, it's a good Summer impression.
Oh my gosh, but that one's really interesting too. I think that's the one where he tries to commit suicide and Jerry's happy at the end, because he says, because like he sends Summer and Morty home and he's like, I'm just gonna stay here with Unity, and she leaves him. She's like, I can't I can't deal with you. You're better at what I do than I am. Like, you infect me with how you live, which is like F everything, and I can't deal with that. And but there's so much in that episode that like speaks to who Rick is and what makes him tick. Like, he wants to fly into a field of redheads with people that look like his dad, like cheering him on. Like, that's so messed up. But he knows what, like, that's so funny that he knows that's exactly what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
That's terrible. Oh my gosh.
Shoot, I was thinking of some crazy example of his that now I'm just like totally slipping in my mind.
That episode is really funny. In the beginning, it's because they come up to a lost ship, and he's like, 90% of the time, they've abandoned ship, and you can just loot all you want, but 10% of the time, it's totally a trap. But he's like, I'm willing to take that chance because I love, like, just taking other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Gosh, he's so terrible. Why do we like him? I'm really torn. I really feel torn, but, like, not... When I watch the show, I always root for him. I like him.
Right.
But when I talk about what he does, I'm like, this guy is terrible.
He's pretty bad.
Yeah.
He's a bad dude. But I think that's the thing is you have because of his limited attachment to the good characters in the show, you're able to identify clearer with his motivations at times so that when he presents something that might be more of a moral gray area and he chooses a decision that might benefit his ego ultimately, you're still okay with it.
Right. And he's so inconsistent because the dial gets lubed in his personality because he drinks so much.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden he'll go from, like, you know, caring about Morty and never doing anything bad to setting up a Saw style like death walkthrough if they don't get the questions right.
Yeah.
And like, I love when Rick's in there with him and Morty's disarming a neutrino bomb and he's like, how many of this have you had to do? And he's like, too many, Rick. Too many.
Too many.
Oh my gosh.
And so, an aspect of his character that also is different is his self-awareness of the show. We kind of talked about it already, but like even at the end of season, he's like, tune in for season, see, or he's talking about how the show has to continue and how they have to do things in order to keep the show on air. And he's got that self-awareness, that like fourth wall, almost Bugs Bunny-esque kind of awareness of the audience, even though he doesn't always address the crowd. But some have argued that that's why he's making all these jokes all the time, because he knows that that's what keeps his universe on the air. Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness gracious.
But that's what kills me is that the comedy comes from how it knows it's getting its jokes. Rick knows that he's getting his jokes, and he can play to that doubly because of, we know how the show works. They go on adventures, something happens, and then it blows up in their face. And Rick, well, even in season three, multiple times, calls out the famous tropes of how the show works.
Yeah. And that goes to one of my favorite Rick moments, which is, I don't remember what the episode is called, but it's the one where those giant heads float to the
show me what you've got.
Yeah, they like float to the universe, and basically it's like it's this big idea that like the world is so insignificant that to other beings and worlds in their universe, we are like just able to be plucked out and put as a contestant
in like an intergalactic,
but like
American
the stakes
Idol.
Are like our life, like our existence, like they will just like unexist us,
yeah,
just for entertainment.
Yeah.
And it's so incredible how much that clicks with Rick.
Yeah.
He's like, what? Like, this makes total sense. Let's just perform. And he's so relaxed and chill, and Morty is like terrified, of course.
Just play the demo track, Morty. Yeah.
All the like recording artists have been killed because of, I don't know, there's something like the Grammys were happening and they caught on fire. But he's just like, he's incredibly calm and just like, yeah, we'll go out there and just give him the best we got. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, you should be terrified, but he's like,
he's at peace.
Because, like, it probably goes hand in hand because he knows, like, my universe is being watched and I'm playing to an audience anyway. So this is the same thing, just playing to a head for audience.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to go out there and go, get swifty.
Take yeah, off your man. Panties.
Shit on the floor. Gotta get swifty in here. Which is like the most weird and it's uncomfortable
song. The weirdest song.
Song
ever. And like all behind the beat is. And the funny thing is, though, of all the people to perform on behalf of Earth, you would want Rick because he's the one who's heard so many different varying forms of music throughout the galaxy.
I don't know, though, because I feel like he just gives like the least amount of like he does not care at all. And so he's going to. Do a song like Get Swifty.
And it works.
But that's the thing. That yeah, it works.
Oh my gosh. Because it's like you hear it and you're like, what the heck kind of a song is that? And they're like, I like what you've got.
Oh my gosh.
My favorite Rick moment, which really is just an episode, but it is pertaining exclusively to how Rick works, is the one where the devil comes to town and creates all the different devices and mechanisms that like, oh, you want to be attractive to women? Well, here, use this stethoscope, but it ends up turning your, you know, hand into like
he's impotent.
Yeah, he's impotent now. It's like all the classic trope of like the devil's
curse. I love
that
part. It's one of the school teachers, right? What's his name? Gosh. He's so good because he comes in and he's like,
how long are you all eating poop?
Yeah. That's from a different
It's not
episode.
Principal Vagina, but it's, gosh, it's killing me. I forget his name.
Anyways, in that episode, he spells out the trope so, like, perfectly in his, like, why? My greed! My lust for love! So funny.
How did I not see this?
And then immediately, like, when Rick cures him, he's like, oh. Lesson, I didn't learn a thing.
I didn't learn a thing.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that's the best part is Rick decides, I'm going up against the devil, and all the devices that he's created that curse you because of what your greed wants you to have, I will reverse that. I'll make the devices just purely give you pleasure, and there will be no consequence whatsoever, which really is the true evil thing to do.
Serious.
Because then people get what they want, and that's even ultimately a worse thing. And so the devil and him getting this huge fight and yada yada yada. The best moment in my mind is the very end, which is the epitome of how Rick ends up solving a lot of his problems. Is him and Summer get super jacked, like they work out to this montage of X gonna give it to you.
DMX. So good.
And they get like super buff and they go around and they start beating.
Like fully taking steroids.
Yeah.
Like shooting up. Oh my gosh.
And they just beat the hell out of the devil. They just beat him up.
It's like the first time that, because everyone has that thought, like, oh, that guy like made fun of me. I should show him. I'll go work out, get strong, and then I'll come back and kick his butt. But nobody ever does that because you can't hold a grudge for that long.
Right.
And also you don't get jacked overnight. But Rick and Summer are the only two people to ever be like, yeah, let's get him. And then that's all it is. They just walk out there and they go, yeah, take that. Oh, yeah. So stupid.
They just spit on him.
Yeah.
And they like make him flinch. and then the post credits.
They high five. They're like.
They're in Paris or something. Yeah. They're like high fiving. They're just total bros. But then at the very end, it shows three alternative. There's like, I think, white supremacists. Yeah.
They do
neo-Nazi.
It to more people that deserve it, but it gets less and less increasing in how much they deserve it.
I can't remember one of them.
It's a neo-Nazi. Like,
right, neo-Nazi walking out of like a meeting.
And they just beat the crap out of him. Then it's a school bully. He looks like Randall from Recess.
You're so right.
And he like just pantses another kid, but he is a bully.
Yeah.
And so they just beat the crap out of him and spit on him.
And then the third one is a guy walking a little dog and he's pulling on the leash and the guy just yanks it really hard. The dog comes like flying towards him, like falls on the ground, and then they
like
Summer,
just minor animal abuse.
Yeah,
and they beat the crap out of him, and spit on him. Oh my gosh!
Which, like I said, I love that moment. I love how they end up resolving the conflict, ultimately learning nothing other than sometimes you just gotta beat the hell out of your
out of the devil.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's so solid. I feel like we could spend a whole nother episode just talking about how season 3 has worked and all that.
I could talk about that episode for an entire episode.
Oh yeah.
So good. Alfred Molina does such a good job as the devil.
Oh my gosh,
he's like,
yes.
I know I'm the devil, but that guy is the devil.
So good. Oh, yeah. And if you Whalers want more Rick and Morty episodes, I mean, we did this because we love this show.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to be able to talk about Rick, but... hey, who knows? There could be more Rick and Morty sods in the future, so just shoot us a whale mail.
Sods?
Sods.
Is that your new little
that's my new breve for sods.
For sods.
Sods, dude. Got so many sods, almost like 50 sods, 50 sods.
Excellent. Nothing.
On the next sode of Whale Pod.
Well, if that is what we have for Rick Sanchez, is that all we have?
Unless you want to add a quote or something.
No, that's what we got.
When I don't like something, Morty, I change it.
It's time for Ben's... oh, I forgot about that part of it. Let's just hear that again. A little bit louder this time. That's right. It's time for Ben's Wacky Facts. This is the part of the show where I, Ben, say some wacky facts, and the critics from Wacky Tomatoes give a corresponding percentage rating based on its overall wackiness. RJ, are you strapped in real good?
Let's get rickety, rickety wrecked!
And that's how the news goes.
Grass tastes bad.
All right, here we go. Here is some facts about Rick Sanchez. Rick's global bank card number.
Oh.
So apparently there's like a global bank.
Of course. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh.
His bank card number is 1234123412341234.
That's the fact?
That is, yeah. That's the fact.
That's interesting to me, but obviously it doesn't matter. We're gonna see what the critics say.
Yeah, let's see.
Pull it up, see what it says. What the critics will give you a 62% wacky. Oh. And they said, don't care.
They still gave me 62%?
Yeah.
I mean, that's above 50.
That's better than the Emoji Movie.
Barely.
Yeah, barely.
All right. Well, that's fact number one. Here's fact number two. Yeah. I mean, I tried to go very Rick and have these be as inconsequential as possible.
The another comment from the review said, oh, don't try to explain it.
Okay, yeah,
just
yeah.
Give us the facts, man.
That's what they said?
Yeah, they said, we just want good facts. Don't explain your failures.
Chill. Here is a wacky fact numero two. It seems that Rick Sanchez is ambidextrous.
Ooh.
He can write with his right hand, he can shoot with his right hand, and he often holds objects with his right hand, but it seems to favor his left. He plays guitar with his left hand, and he's framed in a photo in Bird Person's house with the exclusion of Big Trouble in Little Sanchez, where he actually plays the guitar right-handed.
That's interesting.
So he plays the guitar both right and left-handed, which means he's ambidextrous.
And I'm pretty sure if you're like fluent ambidextrous, it means, I mean, most geniuses are ambidextrous and they can work with both sides of their brain equally as well, which is common among most intellectual.
And it's also the plot for Limitless.
You're correct.
And that other one with Scarlett Johansson where she gets drugs in her and they explode.
Ghost in the Shell?
Yeah, no. Okay. No, the other one. I don't actually remember
Captain
what it was
America
called.
Civil War.
Yeah. Well, but that's pretty wacky, I say. What do the critics say?
That is wacky. The critics are giving you a solid 83% wacky.
Bumped that up.
Very good. And they said it's kind of like that one with Scarlett Johansson. I can't remember the name of the movie, but you know what we're talking about.
It came to me, but then it left. It's like one word. It's like sever,
splinter,
or. Limitless. I can't remember. Here is wacky fact number three, probably the most inconsequential of all facts. Rick Sanchez's last name is Hispanic in origin. In the audio commentary for the episode Autoerotic Assimilation, Rick was confirmed to be of Hispanic descent. Exactly, though, is totally unknown, and Justin Roiland claims that he considers Rick's cultural background to be irrelevant.
Irrelevant. Makes sense to me.
Just like this fact.
Just like this fact. Just like most
just
plot
like the
points
show.
Of the show.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's funny. That's what, I mean, it's wacky. Is it wackier that he has Hispanic origin, or is it wackier that it's irrelevant in the creator's eyes?
I think it's irrelevant.
You think that's
that question?
That question is yeah. is wackier. Okay, that's pretty good. Critics are going to give you a sweet 87% for the wackiness on the race. They said interesting insight, but does it really matter? Question mark. We don't know.
Peaked at a B+.
Yeah.
Not my best.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something stupid to say, but you're right. You know what? Not that bad. You got better as they went on. And you know what? You've had some great facts recently, so...
Thank you.
I mean, that's interesting, the Hispanic thing. I mean, they really don't mention race at all in the Sanchez house.
I know, right?
But, you know, they're all...
What is there?
What's Morty's last name?
Yeah, I can't remember. Jerry and Beth. I don't want to say Gergich, but that's Jerry... from the other show. Shoot, I don't remember. Beth.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think I want to say Smith. It's the Smiths.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Super basic white guy name.
As plain as it gets.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know. I guess it would have been Rick. One of Rick's parents was Hispanic. Anyways, a lot of mystery still behind Beth's mother.
That's true.
So maybe season 4 we'll get into that a little bit more. But anyways, that's the facts, man. And you know what that means.
What does that mean? It's time for hashtag whale mail of the week. Is that what you're saying?
Give me a whale mail and give it to me straight.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's just a quick jingle.
All right.
You don't do the jingle. I do the jingle.
Yeah, try it again. Sorry, I'm trying to set the mood.
Just think of like...
I was thinking like... Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul.
It's more like Coca-Cola jingle. It's more like high octave piano, like Jerry Lewis, kind of like on the piano.
Yeah, okay.
Give me an email or get the hell out of my face.
Okay, we'll try it again. It's time for hashtag whale mail of the week.
Give me an email or get the hell out of my planet.
Yeah. Perfect.
That's good. Anyways,
so emails, as emails goes,
this
we
week's
got one.
Whale mail reads, hey Ben and RJ, I'm a huge comedy nerd. You could say that I'm unhealthily obsessed with comedy to the point.
I thought that was a joke. I'm sorry, that wasn't a joke.
No, are you a comedy nerd? Because that's not funny.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah, Bert.
Easy there.
You could say I'm unhealthily obsessed with comedy to the point that I don't like anything that's not funny, like Ben's last joke. Hey, what up, boy?
That's what they said in the email? Hey,
no, no, no. Even classic movies such as Forrest Gump, Rocky, and E.T., they're all horrible movies. So I made a podcast where I discuss these movies and why they're so bad with my co-host, Phil. We also talk about the meaning of life, find the cure for cancer, and talk to Albert Einstein. The podcast is called Aiden Hates Drama, and it's available for download on iTunes. Thanks for reading this and promoting us, Aiden. That's nice. That's a great little...
Aiden Hates Drama?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Aiden Hates Drama. I'll have to check that out. I mean, Aiden, he's written in, I think, before. He's a good fan of the pod. Why not throw a little,
yeah,
little
throw him
promo,
a bone.
See what happens. I mean,
so is his, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you will, what he's surmising is that if it's not funny, it's not good.
I think what he's saying is through his lens, anything that isn't funny doesn't deserve credit. So what it looks like, and we'll get back to you, maybe the episodes seem to pick apart movies like Forrest Gump, Rocky, and E.T. and maybe find the comedy in the lack of comedy by dissecting the pointlessness of said film.
Wow.
That's a bold thing to
do.
It's
pretty Rick of them.
Yeah, who's taking time to analyze all types of media and forms and spew back some kind of deeper meaning behind it all.
Jeez, that's a bunch of Ricks. We're just a bunch of Jerrys over here. Jerrying
seriously.
About.
Anyways, check that out, guys. See how that works. Aiden, always happy to help a fellow podcaster out.
Aiden Hates Drama.
Aiden Hates Drama. A-H-D. A-H-D. You could probably throw in some, like, ADD joke or ADHD joke.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
Take that, whatever you want.
Yeah, take that. That's free of charge, unless I decide otherwise, in which case I will charge you a large amount of money for that little joke. But
brilliant. Thank you so much for the email.
Yeah, thanks for the email. We'll check it out. Happy to promote friends and friends of the pod. So, Whalers, maybe you got something you just want us to promote. Heck, I don't care. Whale mail's whale mail. I don't judge by race. Only gender.
All emails are white. Is that too soon? RJ, if you, speaking of friends of the pod, if you had a friend of the pod and wanted to show them the pod, where would you send them? Sorry, was that too much?
No, that's perfect.
Where would you send them, RJ?
That's a great premise. Yeah, so if you want to find our podcast, you can find us at the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. Also, literally anywhere you find a podcast, I guarantee we're there. We just get thrown into random databases all the time. Also, Patreon. Go check out our Patreon. You want content?
Right.
We'll give you content. It's that easy. Maybe you just want to give us a dollar for a week and find out how that works.
Doesn't matter.
We'll show you what we got.
That's right.
And hit you with our best shot.
Do all the stuff that's under your couch, you know, those coins, those quarters.
Yeah, what are you doing with
that? Even those nasty gum pens.
The gum pens?
Yeah, we'll take that.
What's a gum pen?
You know, the pen that's down under the couch so deep that it's been wrapped in gum wrappers. You don't have that?
So you're chewing gum and putting gum wrappers into the bottom of your couch?
Not me.
Oh, okay, but someone is.
Yeah.
So then you gotta find out who.
Yeah, it's a big investigation.
And then you check out our Twitter page, at WhalePod, nice. Or our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? And again, our email is whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. If that's too hard for you to remember, I could imagine so. It's a long thing to write. So go to our description. We have an easy link to click. It'll open your email app, which probably is white. And you can type an email and send it to us. And we'll read anything. Promotions for your podcast.
That's right.
Letters to a mom that you haven't met yet.
Yep.
Also, maybe rants about how we spoiled Stranger Things 2 for you.
That makes sense.
So, you know what?
Check it out.
You send it, we read it.
That's right. If you want to follow RJ on the Twitterverse, you can at him at Rodolfo the Brown.
And if you want to find Ben at the Twitterverse, you can find him at White Email Supremacist.
We got to thank our intro music, Ben Sound, he made that. We got to thank for our outro music, the Wolf Pack. They are a pretty sensational band. And have a new album coming out in a couple days.
Yeah, check it out.
Excellent. So thank you again for listening. Every week you're faithful, and we appreciate your faithfulness to this show. And we will leave you with what we always leave you with, and that is comedy is all about...
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub! I was going to say cosmic horror, but that works too. It's the same thing.
That is the same thing. Yeah!